Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Later on in the show, we'll reflect on that 2-2 draw between Leicester and Manchester United. But we start with Arsenal defeating Chelsea by 3-1. Shaka Hislop, Frank Leboeuf and Craig Burley with us. Craig, where did this come from?
Lampard mentioned complacency, and I said 2 or 3 days ago, Dan, that in some sense the pressure was a lot on Chelsea, because here they were going into the backyard of a team who've been appalling in a big London derby. And really everybody, every man and his dog expected Chelsea to win. And here we had a side who really didn't turn up. And now that's now 3 losses in the last 4. And that one win against West Ham recently was, as we discussed, very, very flattering on Chelsea. So there are, you know, all the little nuances of the team that we thought he had found the balance and were working are now not working. You know, the fullbacks were not fit coming into the game, or certainly James had missed the last game. Chilwell had went off early with a knock in the last game, and they didn't look fit. Werner's form, we discussed that at length in the week, and he was absolutely awful again. I mean, Pulisic was barely better on the other side. But I mean, barely. But Timo Werner was awful. And on top of that, the way he was jogging around, he was like half-hearted. So, you know, Lampard spoke about it after the game. He said players were jogging about. Well, take them off. Take them off. 20 minutes. Timo Werner, don't matter who it is, take them off. If they're not responding to what you want and you can't keep saying, well, we didn't start properly. Well, we thought we could just turn up and win. And I'll be dropping players in the next game against Aston Villa in 48 hours. Who, by the way, are flying. Mm. Well, he can drop players all he wants, but he has to take responsibility too. He selected the fullbacks who didn't look fit. He selected Werner again, who's been really, really poor. And it just didn't happen for them.
Well, let's pick up on those quotes. This is just part of what Frank Lampard said. Visibly very angry after this result. You get what you deserve. Lazy to give away a penalty. Lazy in terms of giving away a free kick that Xhaka puts in the top corner. I'm very, very disappointed in the way we approach the first half, because some things in football are basic. It's not tactics or systems. It's, do you want to run? Do you want to back up your teammate? Do you want to sprint, or do you want to jog? Or maybe you want to say, oh, maybe I don't have to run. We took that decision rather than the right one. Frank, this is damning from Frank Lampard about his team afterwards. Is it necessary? Well, would it help?
I don't know, but sometimes you cannot say anything but that, you know, what you just said. You know, it's what I felt. I mean, you can have a bad day. I mean, they're human beings, and you can be bad, but with trying something at least. I mean, that was a dismal, appalling performance, an inexcusable performance from the Chelsea player. I mean, again, you have to show pride. You play for a club, for fans, for a colour. You have to make sure that you give 100%. Even if you have a bad game, even if you make mistakes, it's part of the game, and we'll forgive you as long as you give everything. But as Craig said, I don't know if one of the players gave something. Yes, Hudson-Odoi, when he came in the second half, he was good and changed a little bit the rhythm of the Chelsea team. But otherwise, appalling. Again, appalling performance from the Blues, and big shame on them.
After the game, Lampard said, Xhaka, look, I'm going to take responsibility for this, but I can only tell the players so much. They have to go on the pitch and they have to deliver, which is fine, but is there a sense that maybe the players aren't even listening to him?
Listen, I found a lot about what Frank Lampard said after the game to be confusing. From a man who knows English football as well as he does, to come out with some of the things, well, both before the game, which I'll touch on, and then after, to come out and say the players simply weren't good enough, but I have to take responsibility for that publicly. I mean, you've just said it publicly, that they weren't good enough on the day. At the same time, you wouldn't have thought that Arsenal and Arteta are the ones coming into this game under pressure. I think Frank Lampard kind of gave his team an excuse in talking about before the game, wanting to move their fixture against Aston Villa back 24 hours. And as we said time and time again on here, you give players an excuse, 9 out of 10 times, they're going to take it. And that's exactly what Chelsea did. And the surprising thing for me is, again, this is Frank Lampard, who knows English football, who's been here, seen it, done it as a player, learning it as a manager. You know you can't if you ask to have games moved, it's going to fall on deaf ears. Don't give anybody that excuse. And then, as Craig Riley pointed out, you have to make changes. If things aren't going well, you have to make the big calls. Arteta did that in leaving Aubameyang on the sidelines for as long as he did, and Arsenal responded. They had some luck, make no mistake about it, but Arsenal were by far the better of the two, and I put that down to Frank Lampard.
Dan, sorry, but for the substitution, what I will be very critical towards Frank is I don't understand if in the second half you have Chilwell and Reece James and Hudson-Odoi, you know, giving crosses, why do you keep Giroud on the bench where you can play at two at front and put danger? Because as Xhaka said, you know, the English football showed that every time he comes from the flanks, when you have trouble, you know, you put on the side and you give crosses to big men. I mean, I played against Everton, I played against Sunderland, I played against the players, you know, we're so tall that you can't cope with them. And they could have done that, you know, with Abraham and Giroud, it wouldn't have been a threat. No, what he did, he put Havertz on, didn't make any change. And that I didn't understand.
He did make change at half-time, Craig. Obviously, the big one, Timo Werner coming off, Hudson-Odoi coming on. What's going on with Werner?
Not playing well. He said it himself. The player has said, I'm finding the Premier League a lot tougher than I thought. It's tougher to play in the Premier League than the Bundesliga. His words, not mine, before anybody goes off crying about it. And so he is having a tough time after a bright start. And maybe he's finding it different technically or tactically or physically. But whatever it is, and I read somewhere that Lampard is trying to build his confidence up, well, that's fine. But Chelsea, as we speak, are six in the Premier League. They could be further down than that in 24 hours' time. This pressurised situation, Dan, goes from Mikel Arteta to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to Chris Wilder to all these other managers in the league. It swirls around and changes within a daily basis. It's now swung all the way around in Frank Lampard's direction. He's got a huge game against Villa coming up. Then I think it's City he's got as well. He said he's going to make changes. He'll have to make changes. Frank's right. Hudson-Odoi, come on. At least he was taking people on. He was going 1-1. He was getting crosses in. I believe Hakim Ziyech is going to be available around about the game on the 28th. Whether or not he's match fit or not, I don't know. But they miss him like nobody's business because they've got the pace of Werner and Pulisic. But he just gives them something different. He's got an industry. He's got a guile. He's got a great pass. And they've really missed that. And so this sort of two wide guys and one big man through the middle that we thought and Lampard thought was going to be the ingredient that worked for him, all of a sudden it's not. And so it's back to the drawing board for them. But yeah, he's got players out of form. He's got players who are not fully fit, and that's a problem. They have gone from looking one of the paciest, quickest sides in the Premier League to one of the most pedestrian. And that is a huge issue for him, because you may have noticed with this owner, Roman Abramovich, he doesn't suffer inconsistency, bad results, no matter who it is. So let me be clear, Lampard is back on the chopping block currently as we speak.
Publicly coming out, Craig, and calling them lazy, does that help the situation?
Well, look, you know, as a player, you've got to be big enough. I don't know if it helps or not, but listen, if you're going home blubbering to your family because Frank Lampard has insinuated that you might have been one of the lazy ones, you shouldn't be playing the game, right? These players will go back to their homes tonight or to the hotel, whatever it is they do, and they can reflect on the way that they've played recently, not just this game. Not just this game, Dan. The way they played recently, did not play well against West Ham, but got a win. Did not play well at Wolves, did not play well at Everton. So they can reflect on that. They can also reflect on an Aston Villa side. They've got a heck of a threat going forward with Grealish in particular and Ollie Watkins, who will not give the back four a minute's peace. So it's turn-up time for Lampard and these players, because this cut-and-thrust period can make and break you, and I'm not suggesting Abramovich is going to sack him in the next couple of weeks. But there's one thing that they need to remember, top four, right? If they don't get in the top four, he's probably done. So it's a big season for him that looked as if it was going swimmingly, and now it looks as if they're sinking a little bit with a weight around their feet, and he's going to have to find the reason to put it right.
Shaka, you mentioned 48 hours. What realistically can he do within that time span to sort this team out? Because they were horrible today.
Yeah, they were simply horrible. And in all honesty, I'm not sure what you do. Right now, the focus is on getting players rested, try to get them recovered to come up against a Villa team who are playing well and full of confidence, especially after that win against Crystal Palace. We were just 10 men. You sit down, you review the tape, you point out mistakes that were made tactically, and some of the players, if you're prepared to go on record and call players lazy without naming them, you then have to sit in a room with the entire team and point out who was being lazy and where. And challenge the players to address that, to fix that themselves. As Craig says, they're big boys, and that's what they have to do. My only criticism is when you start naming players publicly, I think it all comes apart. If you make this a group thing, then they better fix it. We've all been there. We've all had to deal with that kind of group criticism. We see what Chelsea can do now, because this is a pressure like they do not know, particularly under Frank Lampard, where they were given pretty much a free pass all of last season.
It is musical chairs at the moment, isn't it, as to who is on the hot seat in the Premier League. Of course, Arteta had his bum burnt rather badly over the last few weeks. But he got out of jail today, Craig, and he did it with a side that wasn't particularly familiar to us. No Willian, no David Luiz because of COVID protocol. Aubameyang on the bench. The youngsters came in and Arsenal got it done.
Yeah, just to briefly backtrack slightly on Shaka's point, which I think is very valid, that last year, you know, a few of these results would have been swatted away. But when you spend, your ownership have spent the best part of £300 million, then all of a sudden the scrutiny is really, really on you. And that's the Chelsea scenario. Yeah, he's almost harnessing his inner Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, isn't he, Mikel Arteta, where at some point during his tenure, Solskjaer, it looked as if he was one or two games away from being really under the microscope, and he's got results. This kind of, it feels like that. And listen, he got his team to sing a tune for him today, which he absolutely needed. But don't mistake this for being some managerial genius tactician in selection, because this is a club that have got three senior players not suffering from COVID, but having to be left out because of a COVID scenario. That was Gabriel, Willian, and there was David Luiz. They're also missing Thomas Partey. So some of these kids were kind of thrown in. This shape of team was kind of thrown together. But you know, sometimes when that happens, you actually find out about other players in your squad. And we know Martinelli's had injury problems, but he's a good young player, really good young player. Saka's been another player who stood up once again. And young Emile Smith-Rowe came in and was really busy in that position behind Lacazette. On top of that, and I keep pointing this out, I really think Kieran Tierney epitomises the attitude and desire and drive that this Arsenal team need. And we saw it once again. So, you know, and even Janet Xhaka with that free kick, he's been much maligned with his disciplinary problems, with the way he's been playing. It was a brilliant set piece. And they took advantage of this Chelsea team. It should have been the opposite. It should have been Chelsea taking advantage with the potential to go second of this weak Arsenal team with some youngsters in there, with a back four that probably has hardly ever played together. But they didn't. It was Arsenal that took advantage of Chelsea's complacency and somewhat Chelsea's arrogance, thinking they can just go in there, swan about and win. And it was a brilliant win. Listen, it could have been more when you think about some of the chances Arsenal had as that second half went on and on. And I know Jorginho missed a penalty, but Arsenal did create other chances in the second half. So it was a surprising result and surprising day, but it was a big day for Arteta.
So how do we read this, Frank? Is this a turning point for Arsenal's season, or they just came up against a team that had a very, very bad day?
You have to consider the fact that Chelsea was very, very bad, but you have to give credit, because I like the reaction of the Arsenal players. They reacted as men. Their coach were in danger and could have been out of the business, you know, if they have lost. And they stood up and they did what they had to do. They had a little bit of luck as well on the Saka's goal, but you create that. When you are with the right temper, you create the chance, you create the character, and it's what they did. And they've been perfect everywhere, in all the park, and that was absolutely perfect. So, will it be a turning point? Hopefully for the Gunners, for the fans, and for the club. But I think we need more than one game to make sure that they got back. They're going to be back on track, even if they are late, you know. But I think it's for the confidence. It's definitely very good 3 points.
Jack,
here's the thing. Dan, Aubameyang doesn't go back in the side, in my opinion. Aubameyang was out with a tight calf. He was on the bench, but he had a tight calf. But he hasn't been playing well. He hasn't been playing well. And listen, we know Saka's been really good for Arsenal. We know Martinelli, when we see him, is only 19, but he's a talent. And I'd rather go out and see these youngsters. If I'm going to be on the hot seat and I might or might not lose my job, I'd rather do it with people running about, putting the effort in, fighting and scrapping and trying to get the victory like they did today, than go out with some big hitters who've signed new contracts swanning about. So, you know, I heard people talking about it today when David Luiz is available, when Gabriel's available, when all this, that and the others available. Would they go back in the team? No, you do not change this team. This is a team that have just swatted away Chelsea by 3-1 in one of the biggest games of their season with some youngsters in the team. So you're going to have to stay in the bench because these guys have performed for me, and I would be shocked if come the Brighton game, Aubameyang or any of the others are back in this side.
Go on, Shaq.
To your point, Dan, it potentially can be a turning point, no question. Listen, as much as we may criticise Chelsea, this very Arsenal team, or maybe not this very team, but Arsenal this season has lost to far worse teams than Chelsea, regardless of the kind of run that they're in. So just as I'm talking about Frank Lampard sitting down, his players, and talking about the mistakes that they made and his criticisms around them, if I'm Arteta, I'm sitting with the team who played today, pointed out all the good things that they did. Maybe you look at how they finished the game and you can put down the fact that there was a near capitulation given Thiago Silva's missed header, the save penalty from Jorginho. But for a team that's both not used to winning and has a number of young players in the lineup, you kind of understand that nervousness about Arsenal once the goal goes in. So you address that. You talk about just maintaining, you know, your composure even when you concede, whether you go behind or whatever it is, and you show faith in this side. It potentially can be a turning point, and I can't remember Arsenal's next few fixtures, but the next three, I believe, are all very winnable. You take 9 points from those next three games, all of a sudden, you know, depending on what happens above you, you're right on the edge of the top four, and your season is looking totally different with some of those key players missing. And then it's all to play for from there.
It's Brighton, Shaq, and it's West Brom. And just let me say, Dan, that this result is absolutely meaningless if they lose both those next games. Yeah. So they're going to have to back this performance up. Otherwise, it's a pointless performance.
Is that your dogs barking, Craig? Can you sort them out, please, as we remind ourselves at the bottom
squealing
of the table? Arsenal remain very much at the wrong end, but up to 14th for the moment after that win.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Saturday, of course, kicked off with the top of the table clash between Leicester and Manchester United, finishing 2-2. Craig, this was a great game, wasn't it? Fun to watch.
Yeah, and really United, you know, creating some of the clearer chances, particularly that header for Marcus Rashford, I think, in the first couple of minutes. How the hell he doesn't score that in the form he's in remains to be seen. But yeah, for a change, United going ahead on a couple of occasions, so coming out and being a bit more forceful. But then Bruno Fernandes made that mistake and Harvey Barnes with a great strike. But yeah, two kind of evenly matched sides in terms of possession. I think Leicester just edged it, but there's always a threat going forward with this front line. And of course, when Cavani comes on, his movement's quite clever, just dropping off there for that little pass. And then Bruno Fernandes with a run in behind. So yeah, I think both managers will feel they could have taken the 3 points out of this, but no surprise it ended up in a draw.
Cavani coming on, as Craig mentioned, that was the moment of the day for me. That pass through was just sublime, Frank.
Yeah, that's what I like about Cavani. I mean, lately he has been absolutely fantastic, scoring very important goals, but also today making giving a fantastic assist. And his experience in overall a very young team is very important. And I like what he can bring in the dressing room, but he can bring it on the field. And when he comes on, he doesn't complain about anything, gives his best, and it's what he did again today. You know, we have to count on the assist. We were talking off, you know, with Xhaka. If Bruno Fernandes should have had another assist for giving a fantastic gift to Rashford, even if he missed, it should be counted as an assist for me.
Well, it's not going to be counted as an assist, is it, Frank? It doesn't work like that. That's a silly thing to say.
Yeah, because it's not because Rashford missed the goal that it's not an assist. It's a given goal. Well, you know what he gave.
Well, let's give Lionel Messi a World Cup then, because it's Higuain who missed it. Wasn't it that chance in the final? Let's just rewrite everything. Xhaka, overall, what I thought was striking today, having watched this game and the Arsenal-Chelsea game, was the complete gulf in quality between all of these sides regarding Leicester and United, head and shoulders, aren't they, above the other two?
Yeah, two of the better footballing teams in the league. And listen, coming into this, we were talking about Leicester struggling at home a little bit, and I think maybe Ole Gunnar Solskjaer kind of overestimated or underestimated how they'd approach this and sat a little bit deeper. So I thought United played their best football with Cavani on the pitch. Just Martial didn't have the kind of room that you maybe he thought he would have going in. But two wonderful footballing teams who know what they're doing, know what they're about. United, all of a sudden, I've been gushing over them over recent weeks, are playing with confidence, seem to know exactly what the plan is, and are executing, and have a bench that can all of a sudden Solskjaer can call on or does call on to change games to good effect. These are two of the best teams, and you can see why there's still some concern around Chelsea and Arsenal, despite their position in the league right now, or maybe at one point this season, as to whether they are worthy of top four finishers. When you see this kind of quality, add to that Liverpool, and then everybody's just kind of fighting up for who else ran.
But overall,
I mean, it's only 3 or 4 weeks ago. I think most people had Chelsea just a smidge ahead of all these teams. Yeah. And now the whole thing's swung around. And if you see Manchester City again today, and, you know, another clean sheet for them, I think they are the side that are, and I pointed it out to Don Hutchinson last week, and he wouldn't have it, that City are going to be the side to watch. And if I'm Liverpool, that is the team that I'm watching. But listen, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in particular, because we're not talking about Brendan Rodgers losing his job at Leicester. That's just not going to happen. But when you're in such a hot seat like Man United, it's always nice, even though you won't say it publicly, to see somebody else taking the pressure. And there's no doubt the focus is switching to West London, and he'll be quite happy about that. One, he's getting results. Two, his players, particularly in the front line, are starting to perform. And three, one of the teams that are going to be closest to them for fighting for second or third or whatever it is, Chelsea, are struggling. So he'll be delighted that I think the bulk of the media, depending on what happens over the next 2 or 3 games, will be heading to Cobham and Stamford Bridge to question Frank Lampard and his future, rather than going to Carrington at Manchester and you know, chatting to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer about, do you think you'll be in a job next week? That's how quickly things are changing in this strange Premier League this season, Dan.
It has been fascinating to watch, and of course it continues on Sunday. Be interesting to see whether or not Spurs can bounce back after a rough run for them. Be sure to join us on the next show. Kay and Stevie will be here to bring you everything you need to know. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. In the late game on Saturday, easy win for Manchester City, beating Newcastle by 2-0. Could have been a lot more than that. Not really much to say about this, Craig, and the fact it was just a walk in the park, wasn't it, for Guardiola's side?
I think the only thing we can say is, and I heard rightly or wrong, did I hear rightly somebody shouting in your ear before we came on air, City the first side to have over 1,000 touches?
Apparently so. I wasn't going to bring that up because I thought you'd all shout at me for a useless...
Well, snack. I was hoping you'd bring it up just as I could shout at you. That kind of nonsense that people tell you sometimes. Are like, who cares, you know what I mean? 1,000 touches, it was a canter, wasn't it? And, yeah, it's not 5 and 6 and 7 Manchester City, but it's clean sheets, it's been solid. I still think they're a little wasteful in the final third. I mean, Raheem Sterling... did well for the Gundogan goal, but in 3 or 4 other occasions when he was in behind with a ball over the top, he could easily clip it across first time. And they just tried to sort of do too many things, but yeah, they're on a decent run now. That's like, I think, 7 clean sheets and 14 in the league, so they're sorting that out. Defensively, Stones and Diaz look decent, although they were not really tested by Newcastle, I'll give you that. But they look solid, and on top of that, they're still waiting to get Aguero, who came on fully up to speed. So I fully expect them to put a really good run together.
Yeah, Aguero came on, didn't he? Was denied by a great save late on. Frank, you're very critical of Manchester City all season, really. Are they starting to change your mind?
Well, it's mostly about the way they play that I'm critical about. It's not the result and the solidity that they have showed lately. They're very efficient. They do what they have to do. They're very consistent, and nothing much to say about the way they decided to play. It's just like I don't enjoy when I see them playing because it goes around like it's an end ball game. But it's good for the results, and they do the thing, and I have to congratulate them. And it could have been worse if Newcastle didn't have in goal Darlow, who made some fantastic save. And I think since Xhaka is slop, Newcastle didn't have a good goalkeeper like that. Just to mention Xhaka is slop, in fact. Not much to say about Manchester City. But no, City does well. Guardiola does well. It's just like, I like direct football. It's not my type of football, but in terms of result, nothing to say. So far, they're back and they're going to race Liverpool. And I see them as contender.
Newcastle going to be okay, Shaq?
Yeah, I think they'll be all right. You know what you're getting with Steve Bruce. It's going to be a team that's going to defend, hope to soak up pressure, and hope to get the odd mistake up the other end. In this league, certainly this season, as it has been for the last couple, that'll be enough. That's not a concern. But, coming in against City is not a game that you expect to get anything of. And truth be told, if the referee blew this off after 70 minutes, nobody, including the fans, would have complained.
Thank you very much, boys. A lot more from Shaka, Frank and Craig over on Extra Time. As always, you can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to the boys. What, you want more? Frank, Shaka and Craig? Well, let's face it, who wouldn't? Be sure to stay tuned. They're answering your tweets on Extra Time next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. Shaka, Frank and Craig is with us. It's a race against time. What's your percentage on your battery, Craig?
I don't know, but it's red.
Okay, good. Well, first off, do you still think, Craig, that Chelsea will stand above Manchester United in the table at the end of the season?
Don't know. For that matter, I don't really care.
Okay, good. Excellent. Frank, what do you think? It's Boxing Day. You can make predictions now.
Now, the thing is, I just want to remind what Sir Alex Ferguson said one day. He said that you can't win the title through Boxing Day, but you definitely can lose the title during that. And I think tonight, or today, for you guys, Chelsea definitely, for me, lost the race of the title. So I don't see them, because Manchester United drew away from home, so they're still in the race. And I think Chelsea has, So I'm wondering, you know, after that performance, and where they're going to end up.
So Manchester United will finish higher than Chelsea, Frank. That's what you're saying, in that long, convoluted way?
If it was too long for you, I would say yes. Sorry about that. Shaka, what kind of journalist ask you a question without, in fact, telling you, you've been too long, so making sure.
Right, Frank, right, Shaka?
I'm going to say Manchester United finish above Chelsea, but I'd like to reserve the right to change my mind without anybody reminding me about that.
Yeah, that will happen. Frank, what's your take on the Tuchel sacking? You were talking about being nice in the Christmas period. Even in this business, the timing seemed extremely classless.
Well, I feel sad for Tuchel. At the same time, I say, well, he's 6 months before the end of his contract, so I guess he got a little bit of money to have to go through Christmas and New Year's Eve with his family in a positive mind. So I'm not too appalled for him. But that's the world of football, and we were feeling that. And I think it's mostly about the article in the Bild that the board didn't like, and it's why they told him goodbye.
What did Shaka think of Saka, Shaka and Laka today?
Yeah, made my evening interesting. I thought all three were very good.
Shaka, could maybe have done better on the free kick? It wasn't quite in the corner, was it?
No, it was a very good free kick, Dad.
All right.
Behave yourself.
I'm just asking. Craig, who has shown to be the bigger waste of £70 million so far? Nicolas Pepe or Kai Havertz? And which player will prove doubters wrong faster?
I think Havertz will prove the doubters wrong in the long run. I mean, don't forget, he has found the transition difficult. I think trying to fit where he was really comfortable at Bayer Leverkusen under Peter Bosch, playing in a couple of different positions. He hasn't found that comfort at Chelsea. He doesn't look good in a wider position. He's played a little deeper in midfield. I don't think in a Chelsea shirt we've seen him play through the middle as a striker yet, which I think we may see at some point, and we did at Leverkusen. And that's going to be potentially an interesting decision for Lampard, because he's got the physicality to play up there, but he drifts around a little bit more and he could pull centre-halves out of position, and that could allow room for runners to go in. And also, he's had COVID, and I think he was somebody who wasn't asymptomatic with COVID, but he was actually struggling a little bit with it. So that certainly hasn't helped him either. So I think in terms of talent, he's going to be, I think, the better of the two. I think there's more end product for him, but we just haven't seen it yet.
For Shaka, keep
Dan,
us...
Yes, Dan, can yes. I say something? Dan, sorry, can I say something about the adaptation? Well, it's about the players, you know, who need sometimes to adapt in England. And you had that from some pressure. Where the pressure come from? From the media, if you don't read it, you don't see it. From the fans in England, you know, they're very polite, they are educated, and they're very good of waiting, you know, for you to settle down. You know, I just wish that Averst, or Werner is talking about that also a little bit, but Averst, I wish him after Chelsea to not sign for any Latin club in Italy, France, or Spain, because I can tell you that's going to be another story. When the fans knock at your door when you have a bad game, or they try to chase you when you didn't do good, you know, that's a pressure. In England, there is no pressure. People are very well educated and very polite, so there is no pressure. So for me, it's not an excuse. It's not an excuse at all. That he was in the family club, okay, in Leverkusen, that he, Chelsea is another club, okay, it's another dimension. But Chelsea is not Real Madrid or Milan or Marseille, where I tell you, after two games, if you're not good, even if you just signed, you're big, big under pressure. Big time. Mm.
And the people are also at home, Frank, so you may have noticed that. I don't know if you've noticed, there's nobody in the stadiums.
Yeah, but they can wait in Italy, Spain, or France. They wait for you just outside the stadium. into the stadium, but
they do that
story.
In Scotland.
Yeah.
For Xhaka, keepers now have the book on Jorginho's jump pen. Alisson and Leno made him look a right mug. Should he change tactics, or will nervy keepers still bite and give away position?
Listen, I think Jorginho uses his jump to throw keepers' timings off. But once you figure out that that's what he's going to do, he needs to have a change-up. And I'm sure between Craig and Frank, they can speak to this a whole lot better than me. But the good penalty takers I came up against, they had a favorite side. And if you moved early, they could spot that, and they could put it to the other side just as easily. But what it seems with Jorginho is he can't change up. He can't put it the other side. So what he's trying to do, and you saw it today, is kind of flatten his jump to make the timings, to again throw the keeper off the timing. But without a change up, the keepers are going to get it right more times than not. And that for me is a sign of not a fantastic penalty, not a good penalty taker. But again, we have two good penalty takers on with us. They can speak to that a whole lot better than I can.
Well, that's awesome.
Well, listen, there's no point briefing somebody who's been pretty good on penalties about missing a couple of penalties, because it's not going to make, as my camera, come on, there we go, frozen again. That's my battery's just about at the end. The only thing Jorginho needs to worry about is how to get his shin pads on quicker, because he ain't going to be playing. So it ain't really a big problem, you know, so that's the bottom line.
Frank, quickly, because of his battery.
Yeah, no, he has to stop that. I mean, when you do that and you score a penalty, everybody's going to say, wow, it's nice, you know, good trick. But when what happened today, you know, the goalkeeper stops it, he looks like a fool. You know, so you have to stop that. I think the best penalty, or the two best penalty takers nowadays, are Hazard and Neymar. Absolutely fantastic. It's like they will never miss a penalty. But otherwise, don't play with a goalkeeper once again, you know, and I will always say that until my last breath. They play with a goalkeeper where they have the ascendance of the goalkeeper, shoot strongly on the floor, and it's going to be all right. Look, Lukaku. He doesn't play with goalkeepers.
Frank got his death.
Dan, let me just...
last words. Don't play with goalkeepers, that's it.
Dan, let me just add to that. Bruno Fernandes... Oh, sorry, I was just going to say, Bruno Fernandes had a similar jump before his. He missed a couple and flattened his jump. That went disastrously as well. And now he just added the change-up, you know, change size to his repertoire. And he's back in the goals from the penalty spot.
I don't know what's wrong with these players and all these jumps. It's utter nonsense. Frank will tell you, you know, if you're not scoring these days, holy smokes. The keeper's not allowed to move a foot off the line. His foot's got to be on the line. How difficult, how much more of an advantage is that these days compared to when goalies like Hislop there were halfway across the 6-yard box before you'd even got a strike on it? Now you can't do that. The keepers had narrowed the angle down a little bit. They were always stealing a little bit of the angle. Now they can't, Frank.
Cheater. Cheater there, cheater. You know, there, cheater. That was the guy there on the left side of my screen. It was a cheater. You know, he was always forward.
Can anyone please provide a quick synopsis of Boxing Day for us Yanks who live across the pond? Do you guys get double the gifts for Christmas and Boxing Day? How can I convince my family to celebrate Boxing Day so I can double up on my gifts? No.
I think Boxing Day was something to do with sales, Dan, was it not, in the old days?
Oh, shut up. How can it be to do with sales? How long have shops been around? It harks back way, way before that, doesn't it?
Does it?
Yes, I think so. I don't think they definitively know the origin of it, but it was a long time ago.
Oh, I don't know. That's all right. I mean, if you're going to jump in and belittle my suggestion, at least come up with an alternative.
Well, you think in 1800s, it's Boxing Day. Oh, look, everyone's got their sails on. Hey, there we go. Off we go.
They had shops in the 1800s. It just didn't look like they looked today. You know?
Sails.
I don't know what it is.
We don't get extra presents.
No.
Final one. No. Craig, how was Christmas dinner with sensitive and emotional Liverpool TV pundit Steve Nicol? I'm making the educated guess that he had the missus bring some shepherd's pie to the event and that he also took home all the leftover beer.
No. But he did forget his doggy bag that he piled in that he was going to take. He made a conscious decision that he was going to eat this year and eat properly.
Right.
And so, as I was telling you boys before we started this, he had... And I can confirm it was 3 full platefuls.
Wow.
And the second time he went up to fill the plate up, I went, wow, he's gone for it. The third time, I nearly fell off my chair. So that curtailed his drinking. That curtailed his drinking after dinner, which was then down to about 2 beers, because he was stuffed and then left earlier than usual because the aforementioned libations were not going down too well.
Wow.
Because he was rather stuffed.
Wow.
He didn't take the beer back home with him that he brought, I don't think. And he was very well behaved.
Wow.
And we played a little game to finish the evening against the wives, of course, which Stevie and I won.
What game did you play? I can't imagine you involving yourself in any of these sort of things, just going, I can't be bothered.
No, that's work.
Away from work, you're just a social butterfly playing charades with all and everyone.
Yeah, work. When I have to come into that studio with you, I'm like, I can't be bothered.
Right.
But no, we played a little game with, not charades, but, you know, with cards where you've got to describe what's on the card. You know, I don't know what you call it.
Okay.
So him and I were beating the wives, although there was a little bit of cheating going on because he was showing me the answers to the next question.
Of course. Wait, and you were calling me cheater 2 minutes ago? You cheated on charades?
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
Yeah, because you didn't stay on the line. You know that.
I think we're done.
I never cheated.
I think that's
charades.
It. Your battery survived. No. Marvellous. Any last words?
Well, do you know what, Dan? If my battery had failed during this, do you know what my words would have been?
You're not bothered, I imagine.
Correct.
I'm surprised you didn't just hang up and pretend that your battery had died, to be honest.
But listen, I'm ready to charge it up. That's how professional I am.
Well, that's not professional.
Ready to go.
How is that professional?
Now, that's too late.
You have to charge
professional should have been done.
Oh, no, I've got the charge.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Right. Do not try at home. What a lovely sight for everyone. We're done. We will be back tomorrow for more of this nonsense. Keep your tweets coming in. Until then, goodbye.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.